promises.
Amen.
You do it in solemn service. Amen. It's always good to enter into his gates with praise and thanksgiving.
That's right.
How many enjoyed the service last night?
Amen.
I thoroughly enjoyed every bit of it. And, you know, we're not a fancy church or anything like that. We're just good old, what I consider good old country folks. And as Brother Brandon would say, we're thick as molasses on a cold morning.
Yeah.
Amen. Right. And so we might as well just be ourselves, right? Learn to be ourselves here, because that's what we're going to be there. We're going to put on there, right? Amen. So we don't have to please any great big program or anything like that. We just want to just love the Lord and love one another, and just let the Holy Spirit lead us and do the things that he does so well. Amen. So I really enjoyed service last night. I was telling Brother Joel last night before service, I said, "Brother, as you already know," speaking of him, and I said, "and as you can ask any minister that comes and speaks for us, I never discuss with them anything about our church, what we're going through, or what individuals in our church is going through." And I do that for a reason.
Amen.
And I like his response. He said, "You know, if someone tells me something that's going on, if he's going to be preaching for someone, and that's what they tell him something about the church and something somebody's going through," he said, "then that becomes things I can't preach on." Because you feel like it'd be the flesh or because of knowledge.
Right. Yep.
But whenever you don't know and you just preach what the Lord puts on your heart, you can preach it with conviction and just not hold back and not worry about anything, then you know it's the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. And so I like it that way, and I really feel like the Lord spoke to many of us last night. I enjoyed every bit of it myself. Amen. And so we just really appreciate our brother coming, and we can go ahead and send someone back to heaven. Come on out. Amen. I read that scripture last night out of Acts, speaking of the book of Joel, and where it said, "In the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Young men will see vision, old men dream dreams." You know, the scripture tells us that without a vision, we perish.
Right?
So without, I'll say it this way so you might understand, without a prophet, see what I'm saying?
Yep, right.
Without a prophet, we perish.
That's right.
Amen. So we want to stand here today. We want to be in service today. We want to worship God under something the Lord has sent to us, a vision. A vision of an end time bride. Amen. And I want to tell you, I think maybe the brother said something last night, I don't know, but I don't remember exactly who it was I heard recently say it, but sometimes we don't realize just exactly what God has done. Amen. And so we certainly want to worship him in spirit and truth. Amen. We have a song to bring our brother up with. Amen. "Be it unto me." How many can say that? "Be it unto me."
Amen.
According to his word. You know, there was a young sister one time years ago that an angel came to her and told the word of the Lord. And she said, "Be it unto me." And because of that attitude, she was able to birth our Savior. Well, I believe this generation today needs somebody to birth Christ. Amen. So I say, "Be it unto me." Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Let's just sing.
Oh, be it unto me according to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure, carved upon my heart.
this morning. I wonder if you just make it known by no lifted hand. As we go to the Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, as I stand here before your bride of Christ once again, Lord Jesus, I ask, Lord, that you would just move in a special way this morning. Lord, don't let my words have the preeminence, but let your words have the preeminence this morning, Lord. Lord, as we worship you in song, Lord, we're ready now for the word of God. I pray, Lord, that the word would not go out void, but it would return again and bring fruits to the people here today. I pray, Lord, if there be a sick one among us, Lord, that they wouldn't leave that way today. I pray, Lord, if there's a backslider in the building, Lord, you would just catch their attention this morning. Lord, I ask, Lord, you would just move in a miraculous way, Lord. Do the impossible in the service this morning. Lord, we give you the honor. We give you the glory. For everything we say and do, Lord, it's all about you. I pray you'd be with us now. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all these things. And the bride says,
amen.
Amen. Sure, my privilege to be back again this morning to stand before you. And I want to say this. I failed to do it last night. I want to bring greetings from our home church and my pastor, Brother Ben Pruitt, there in Hardy, Arkansas. And he's actually up here in Galena. That's why Pablo didn't go there. He didn't want to go hear my brother. At least that's what I told my brother this morning. I said, you'd rather hear this Pruitt. And I've always said one Pruitt's as good as another. So, we're all long-winded. And so we just try to do our best. And amen. How many loves the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Good to have my family with me this morning. And to travel with me, it's good. Because as Brother Tony said, if you're traveling, it's lonely sometimes when you get out there by yourself in a hotel and stuff. It's also a challenge, too, because I've got a 2-year-old that thinks he's the preacher. And so trying to keep him out of the flesh at times is a little hard. But we do love the Lord. We love you. And I don't take it lightly to stand before the people of God. And I would never do it just for vain purposes. But if I can help somebody, then my living will not be in vain. You believe that this morning? Amen. Let's just go to the Word. If you have your Bibles, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And we'll read verses 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. If I could title the sermon this morning, it would be Reflecting the Image of Christ. Reflecting the Image of Christ. Kind of some of the things may go along with what we spoke on last night, but just to kind of go how the Lord will lead this morning. Genesis 1, 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." And in Philippians chapter 2, just before you're seated, Philippians 2 and verse 5, and we'll read 5 through 7, Philippians 2 verses 5 through 7, says it like this: "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." You may be seated. May the Lord add his blessings to the word this morning. And my thought on this morning is that there has got to be someone today that is reflecting or becoming the image of Christ today. Amen. Because God did not create you just to be in the image of the world, but he created you to be in his image. Can you say amen? And so if you take this very simply, you could even say that's why we don't mark ourselves up. That's why we don't change the way we look. That's why we a prophet taught us these things, and you think, well, it's old-fashioned holiness. But really, it's biblical, because God made us the way he made us for a reason. God didn't make us all the same color. He didn't make us all the same size. He didn't make us all talk the same, look the same, act the same. But what he did was he made us in his image what he thought that we would be.
Amen.
That doesn't mean we all look the same, but we are in the image that God had of us in his mind.
Yeah.
Many people say, well, who is the image of God on the earth? Well, the image is the body that he has formed up. It is actually a many-membered body. So it's not just, I'm not the only body of Christ, and Brother Daniel's not the only body of Christ, but he's a member of that body. Can you say amen?
Right.
And so when we see that we are a member, then we've placed ourselves in the body of Christ. And there may be someone that may have a bigger position than you. Amen. But you're just as important as they are. The bigger churches, the little churches, it doesn't matter. You are all playing a role in the orchestra, if you will, that God has placed on the earth. So Brother Brandon would talk like this just to give us a little background here. He said, all the things of shadows and types, when God made the heavens and the earth, he made the moon to shine in the absence of the sun. I want you to notice here, he says now, it's a beautiful type of Christ and the church. The church is the moon to give the light to the world while the sun is gone. So Brother Branham actually talks about it's like the sun. It's, you know, he used nature as his first Bible. And you would notice that when the sun goes down, the moon is then in the sky. But that is just a reflection that the sun is somewhere.
That's right.
Are you still with me now? So you realize that when you see the moon, you see the sun. When you see the bride, you see that there was a Christ because he presented a bride unto himself. He made a bride that would be in the image of God. So I want you to notice that the only living body that we have now of Christ on the earth is the bride of Christ. That is the living body. Yes, there's a spirit of Christ that is in that body, and that's what makes her live. But the actual body of Christ that is here is the bride of Christ. Now, we believe in a literal corporal body of Jesus Christ that will come back. Brother Branham said believers believe that, so we believe that. Amen, but we are not looking at that right now because he ascended into the heavens. Amen, but he sent his spirit to keep you and I under subjection to the word of God. Amen, without the spirit, we wouldn't know what to believe. But God has actually sent the Spirit here, amen, to make a bride in his image. So, Brother Branham said a beautiful type of Christ in the church. The church is the moon to give light to the world while the sun is gone. He said, see what I mean? A lesser light. And then otherwise, the moon and the sun is husband and wife. As Christ and the church is husband and wife, the wife being the weaker vessel only gives a smaller light in the absence of her husband. And the church can only make manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And remember, the moon cannot give any light of her own. And when you see the moonlight, it's not the moonlight. It's the reflection of the sunlight. He said, now, he said, is that right? And it shines his light on the church to reflect his light and the power to the world in his absence. Brother Brandon would even say it like this. In his absence, you are his body and his voice. So he didn't tell us that, you know, that the voice of God would be only on tape, but he said it would be in the bride. And so we see that the bride actually, you know, you say you have thus saith the Lord, or you keep still. But if you have thus saith the Lord, you have a voice. You have something to say. Amen. This is not the words of myself this morning. This is the words of a prophet. Why? Because I don't have nothing on my own. But if I speak what he said, it's thus saith the Lord to the bride. Brother Branham would say it like this sometimes of an evening when the children are sleeping. He said, Mrs. Branham and I slip into the room and look at little Joseph. I look at him and he's laying there sleeping, and I say, Mama, do you know he's got big eyes just like yours? And she says, yes, he's got lips like yours. And it's the features of both of us that's represented in that child. He said, oh, how that God wants to see the reflection of himself and his church reflecting the power and the glory to the world. Amen. The only light that the world will ever see is you and I. Amen. And the only light that we can have is from the sun. It's no light of our own. Are you with me this morning? Brother Brandon talked about in the Old Testament, he said, when beaters were beating gold, he said, now you've got the fool's gold, and he said, it really sometimes shines better than the real gold. It's got sludge and everything. The real gold's got sludge and everything in it, but the beater would beat the gold. And the way he knew he had all the dirt out of it, he would see the reflection of himself in the gold. And I want you to notice that sometimes when you're going through a trial, sometimes when it looks like you're going through, you know, you went to hell and back, and you just barely holding on. Remember, God has allowed you to go through the trial so that you will reflect his image. And then he didn't let you go through the trial just because he wants to see you punished. But he wants to see you become more and more like he is. Amen. It is a perfection that you've got to come through. Amen. But every son of God must first be tested and tried. You say, well, does God hate me? No, God loves you. And that's why he's allowing you to go through the trial that you're going through. Brother Brandon would say it like this. He said, he's got to get all the dirt out of it. And then he sees the reflection of himself in it like a polished mirror. He beat it and he beat it and he beat it until he's seen his own reflection. He said, that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to do to the church today, is to beat it and turn it over and beat it until Christ reflects in the church to the people, proving his resurrection. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. He's trying to get the people to beat the world out of them. The devil's pouring it in, and the Holy Spirit, if you'll just stand still and let him, he will beat your life until the loving peace of Christ is reflected into your life. I want you to notice, amen, he's not beating you over the head, but he's allowing you to go through trials. He didn't want you to come here this morning and feel like the preacher's just going to beat you and beat you. No, but it's God that is beating the bad things out of you. Amen. To try to make a reflection of himself in you. God wants to live through you.
Right.
He's got to have a body to live through. He's got to have a voice to speak. He's got to have hands to use. Amen. He's got to have feet to walk with.
Right.
You are the body of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
You say, well, I don't feel like it. You don't have to feel like it. God will use who he wants to use.
Right, right.
Amen. You know, we talked last night about how he used Paul. Right. When God used Paul, it wasn't man's choosing, but it was God's choosing.
Right.
And I love what Brother Tony mentioned last night to me. You know, Paul was he was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was actually a very knowledgeable man. He was very smart. But you know, God had to strip him of that, just like he did Moses. Because his knowledge, although he could use it when he was writing, you'll see that Paul was very, very well written, very well spoken. Amen. But so God had a purpose for using the man. While he was in the Sanhedrin, no doubt God placed him there just to use him later on. Amen. But Moses, if you look at him, amen, God had to get him into the wilderness for 40 years just to beat all of that out of him so that he could be a real reflection of what God wanted him to be. Amen. God didn't want a Pharaoh. God wanted a humble man that could be used of God. God wants humility in his people. Are you with me this morning? God doesn't want us just to be, he doesn't want it to be all about us. Because at the end of the day, you can say, well, I'm a pretty good man, or I've lived a pretty good life. And I was preaching one time, and I had a sister come up to me afterwards. And, you know, the church was just under conviction, and the altars was full. And myself, I thought, well, the Lord really moved this morning. I thought that was good. And this little sister met me after church, and she told me, she said, you know, she said, Brother Joel, she said, I love what you preach this morning, but she said, I couldn't identify with it because she said, I've just always been a good person. And I thought, well, bless her heart, you know. And so I thought, Lord, what could I say to her? Because she is a good person, you know, wonderful person. But I said, well, you know, religious spirits are bad too. And I thought, you know, maybe I shouldn't have said that, but I did. And she still loves me, so we're good. But, you know, it's true. Many times we get to thinking, we're good. Your goodness is filthy rags.
Right.
Your goodness is nothing.
Right.
Amen. If you were so good, he wouldn't have had to die for
right,
you.
Right, right.
But he died for every one of us. Why?
Yeah.
Because no matter how good you thought you were,
right,
you were a sinner that needed a Savior.
Right.
It doesn't matter. You know, you can look
right
at a man and you can say how great he's been or how great of a ministry he may have, and we thank the Lord for it. I say we give them the flowers while they're still living. And I'll say this. Amen. Many times we've looked at men and we've elevated them, and we realize that we need to realize that they were also a sinner saved by grace. No matter how great they may be now, God had to take them out of the deep miry clay, and then he had to set them up there where they're at now. God had to place them in the body where they are. It's God who does the choosing. God does the placing. God does the cleaning up. God does the sanctifying. Come on, church. It's all about God this morning. Everything that we can accomplish in this life is all about him. Amen. God has had to put us through some things so that we would see that it's always been God.
Right.
I can't walk without Jesus. I can't talk without him. I can't preach without him.
Right.
If he's not
right
here, then it's all in vain.
Yeah.
But if he's
yeah
here, then
right
everything is possible.
That's right.
You say, what does God want to do for us this morning? He wants to do the impossible for you this morning. Because that's the kind of God we serve.
That's right.
The kind of God we serve. Amen. He can take a rock in a weary land and bring water from it.
Yeah.
The God that we serve can take a woman that's in a backslidden condition, in a harlot condition, and make her a daughter of God.
Yeah.
God can take a man who's a drunkard and a drug addict
yeah
and make him a preacher of the gospel.
Yeah.
Come on, church. We
yeah
can take the limits off of God because we know what kind of God we serve.
Yeah. Right.
This is not a God, amen, that we should boast of ourselves, but it's a God that deserves glory. Amen. If the angels were good enough to give him glory, he would have never created man in his image. Yeah. But he needed somebody who could be saved and feel the effects of being saved. And then they can fall down and say, holy, holy is the Lamb of God. Why? Because God wants to be worshipped.
That's right.
He didn't put the preacher in the pulpit to be worshipped. He didn't put the great musicians in the music business just to be worshipped. But he wants to get the praise out of all of us. Brother Brandon would say like this. I'm sorry I got off there for a minute, but that's on my heart. And Brother Brandon would say like this. He said, the word itself made flesh in you. You are a reflection of this hour. The message, reflection of it. I want you to notice that the message itself is just a dead letter if it doesn't have something to work through. Why would a prophet come to call out a bride?
Yeah, that's right.
If there was no bride to hear the message and become the message.
Yeah,
are you still with me now? There's got to be someone that will live out the message of the hour.
Yeah.
Someone's got to reflect that the message actually works.
Hey.
There's got to be a group of women who's willing to quit wearing the makeup.
Yeah.
There's got to be a group of women who are willing to say, you know what? I'm not going to look like the world. I'm not going to act like the world. I'm not going to talk like the world. I'm going to follow the word of the hour because I want to reflect what's on the inside of me. I'll say this too. You know, many times we want to clean the outside up before the inside ever gets cleaned up. I say let the inside get cleaned up and the outside will reflect what's on the inside. Amen. We need to get the Holy Ghost back in the young people, and then you'll see a reflection of God in the young people.
Yeah.
Come on, church, the message works, but what we've tried to do is we've tried to put lipstick on a pig. And I want you to notice today, amen, we're not trying to make the message work. The message will work.
That's right.
Amen.
The message don't need me and you to try to make everything fit here and fit there. No, what we need is let the message have the effect on the people, and we'll start seeing the living images of God sitting in the pews of the churches.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus Christ comes on the inside, and the next thing you know, he walks into every room of your house, and he opens the secret places in your house, and he starts cleaning those places up.
Hallelujah.
And the next thing you know, you start acting different. Why? Because the desire to sin is gone. And the desire to please God is back again, and that creates an individual that is in revival. You say, well, we need revival around here. We all need revival. But remember, it ain't a nationwide revival. It's not a worldwide revival. It's an individual revival. And we've got to come by the message of the hour to be revived again. I said, revive us, O Lord, and let the word work again. Amen. But I want you to notice a prophet teaches. I won't get into it because I preached this recently. I don't remember where it was, but I'll say this. Amen. The bride's revival is a word revival.
Yeah.
And if the word is coming into the believer, you will reflect the word that has been given to you.
Hallelujah.
If you're listening to the tapes, you can tell when you've been listening to the tapes.
That's right.
Come on, church.
Amen.
I'll tell you, people that quit listening to the tapes, and I see it in our church, I'm sure you all do too. When you see people that quit listening to the tapes, they quit reading their books and quit reading their Bible, the next thing you know, you watch them get almost into a backslidden condition. I'm not saying they're lost. Don't get me wrong this morning. I'm not saying they're going to hell or anything like that. But I'm telling you, if you want to be on fire for God, then give God the time of day. Give God the time of your life. Let God have the preeminence in your life. You say, well, Brother Joel, I just don't know if I can make it. Listen, church, you can't make it on your own. It's time we quit trying to make it on our own. It's time we let him come on the inside, and he will clean us up, and he will reflect through us.
Help us, Lord. Hallelujah.
Hey, man, you're a reflector. You know, Brother Brandon talked about it like this. He said, Enoch was God's perfect reflector in type. He said when God was through with him, he just translated him and took him up. The mechanics that he had became the dynamics with the Spirit and took him up. The same in the days of Elijah. Even to his bones were that reflection of God in his body being made manifest the Word of God. They laid a dead man on it. He sparked to life again. Brother Branham said, Jesus Christ was the person, man, God. Can you say man?
Amen.
He said he was the manifestation of God. He was God in a body form to reflect the Word of God for that age. To make that age God's promise for that age. And the Holy Ghost is the same thing today.
That's right.
It's the Spirit of God upon the written word, trying to find somebody to reflect itself to this age. I want you to notice this, to prove that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, and also, He quotes John 14:12. He said, "The works that I do shall you do also." Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. See, constantly trying to find its way to reflect itself. It needs someone to reflect itself through. The message, listen, church, if the message is on your bookshelf and you say, "Look what I've got in my home," it won't do no good. It is not the token. The message on your shelf is not the token. The Bible in your house is not a savior. The words on the book can save you if they come into your heart and change you. Amen. But come on, church. This cannot save you in itself. The Spirit of God has got to bring that off of the pages to save you. And I think I went through a little bit last night, but I'll say it again. Amen. Books and tapes are never going to save you. They're never even going to make you reflect the image.
Right.
But you need those things that God has given us. But it must be God doing the work.
Yeah.
I don't mean to yell at you this morning, but I want to say this. Brother Brandon would say, when you are a son of God in the house of God, you are part of God's economy. He said, now Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, for they are dead to the world, alive in Him, and living in this present day, making the word that God has used them or foreordained them to, placing their name in this bride's book. And when the waters comes upon that seed that's in the heart, it raises it up to the bride of Christ. Oh my, just perfect as it can be.
Yes.
In every age it's been that way. The Lutherans under justification, the feet and raised it like that. Wesley under sanctification. The Pentecostals under the arms, the works and deeds and so forth. It had to be legalist. He said they had to be legalist. He said, but now we come to the head, to the capstone. The headstone's crying what? Grace. Grace passed from death and creed into a living word of the living God. God's only provided plan for His age. His sons in the word age, quickened by the Spirit, like a spark that's lit off of something to make it alive, and seated now in heavenly places. I want you to notice something. It was legalism through the ages, because they had to be legalists to get to where they were going. But in this age, it was Christ Himself, which is grace to you.
Amen.
Are you with me now?
Right.
Amen. They had to do this. They had to. The just shall live by faith. They had to work their way in. They had to do this work and that work and do so many things. It was hard for them. Amen. Because the fullness of Christ had not been revealed yet. Amen. But in this day, in this hour, the Holy Ghost has come and revealed Himself in His fullness through a prophet of God.
Hallelujah.
I want you to notice today that God did not call us to be legalists.
No.
Are you with me now?
Right.
It's all about grace in this age. That don't mean you do anything you want to. It means you do everything you want to.
Right.
And if you do what you want to, on the inside is going to come out, and that is going to be Christ revealed to the world. Come on, church. I don't want you to just act the part of a Christian this morning. I don't want to see young people say, "Well, I think I can do better. I think I can dress better." Listen, it ain't about you trying to do it. Do what's in your heart to do it. But I say we need to get our hearts right this morning. And if we can get our hearts right, then we can do what God has called us to do, which is to be sons and daughters of God.
Amen. Right.
I mean, there's got to be a people that were chosen. There's got to be a people that were called out. And I want you to know the types and the shadows is the moon and the reflection of the sun and so forth like that. But I want you to notice that the prophets, Brother Branham said, the prophets were reflectors in type, but then Jesus was the perfect reflector. He was the perfect reflection. He was without sin. He was a perfect reflection of God on the earth. He was God. He was totally man, Brother Branham said, and totally God.
That's right.
Amen. He wasn't just a man, yet he had the symptoms of a man. He was a man that had headaches. He was a man, amen, that could even maybe face depression. He was tempted in all like manners that we are. Amen. So Jesus, no doubt, he could sit there and be sad. Jesus could feel all the emotions that you could feel. There were times he could feel happy. There were times when he would feel lonely. There were times when he would feel afraid. But yet he was God the whole time.
That's right.
Are you with me now?
Amen.
That's why the bride, you say, "Well, when I feel alone, am I really alone?" No, God's with you the whole time.
That's
because you're the living body of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
are you tempted to sin? Sure you were. Hallelujah. But God was with you the whole time. When I get down and feel depressed, does that mean I've lost my religion? No, God is still holding on to you.
That's right.
You say, well, I wish God would do something for me. God's right there every step of the way. He's the God that goes before you in battle. He's the God that's fought every enemy so far, and He's already fought every enemy in the future. All you got to do is stand up and say, Lord God, I'm here. I'm ready. He wants someone willing and ready all the time. Listen, yes, we are going to fight, but we have already won the battle.
Amen. That's right.
Because He's already went before us in battle. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? Brother Bram will say like this. He said, now we come to grace. Grace passed from death and creed into a living word of the living God. God's only provided plan for His age. Amen. His sons in the word age, quickened by the Spirit like a spark that's lit off of something to make it alive and seated now in heavenly places in present tense, Brother Bram says. Already alive and subject to every promise in the word. Aren't you thankful?
Amen.
Then what does that do? You being a part of God's gene, a part of the word, other men a part of God's word, seated together, manifest the entire body of Christ because there's no leaven among you. Now, Brother Branham never one time says we're going to be united under opinion. He never one time says we're going to be united under our own ideas. He never one time says we're going to be united in one place on the earth. Remember, this rapture is going to be a universal rapture. He never one time... Excuse me. He never one time tells us these things. Those are man-made ideas. But what He has told us is we will be united under one head, which is Christ. Are you still with me? Under the same word. So the word is our head this morning. I don't have authority over the word. You don't have authority over the word. The word has authority over every one in this building this morning. We are to be subject to the word. It doesn't mean that we understand all of it, but we do believe what we know, and we walk in the light as we know it. Amen. So as we see the light revealing in our hour, we recognize that we are not to be just another denomination. Matter of fact, we can't be a denomination at all, because that would cause death upon the bride, and this bride cannot die. Why? Because if you are part of the word, you are eternal.
Amen.
As the word is eternal.
Amen.
And you can't die no more than God
That's
can
right.
die.
Hallelujah.
You say, well, I'm going to get old and die. But a believer never dies.
Oh, that's right.
If you lost a loved one this morning and they were in Christ, I want you to know they're not far from you at all. They're still in Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't want you to think this morning, listen, you know, we get so scared of death, and we got some elders at the church, and we thank the Lord for them. But we got one sister, 92 years old, and she keeps telling us she's ready to go, but she's been saying that for 5 years. We got another old brother. He said, I wish y'all just pray that I could go. He said, I'm getting weak and kind of miserable, you know, and he's 87 years old. Well, I'm not going to pray that they go home, you know, because they're good examples in the church. They don't miss a service. When they can be there, they're there. If their health is able, they're in the church. You know, they're at the house of God. And so they're just wonderful reflections of what God can do, even to older people.
Right.
So
right.
I thank the Lord for them. I told them, I said, no, I'm going to pray that you stay around us as long as God will allow you to stay around.
Amen.
And I'm not going to pray that God will take you home. And they said, well, when you get our age, you'll want to go home too. I said, well, I want to go home now. But, you know, I don't want you to go home yet.
Yeah.
And so I told them that. And I've thought about it a lot recently, because I thought, you know, if the Lord tarries, there's some of them funerals I'll have to go to. But I've preached to him recently about the fact that a Christian doesn't die.
Right.
A Christian, they can lay down mortality, but that is only a dwelling place change.
Right.
It is only a time when we move from one dimension to another. Brother Branham taught us that, amen, a real Christian never dies. And that's why Brother Branham would make the statement. He made the statement, he said, when they tell you I'm dead and gone, don't you believe it?
Right.
Well, many have taken that statement to say, well, Brother Branham is not dead. Well, I believe that with all my heart.
Nope.
But I also believe that every other saint and Christian that has died, amen, under the message of the hour, they're not dead either.
That's right.
And I would like you to know they're just resting. Amen. But we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. So while they are sleeping, I know that Brother Branham is not laying there in that physical body. We can go visit the grave all you want to. Amen. But he's not there. Amen. But I want you to know that if your dad and mama was walking in the Word of God for their age, and then they're laying in the cold, dark grave, they're not there. But they're already raised in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
So this morning I would say we don't fear death as believers. We don't fear death. We don't fear, matter of fact, we don't fear nothing. The only thing we fear is when Satan comes around and the flesh starts to get scared, we realize that the flesh can be subject to fears. We realize the flesh can be subject to headaches. We realize the flesh can be subject to all kinds of sickness.
Yeah.
And yet none of that defines who we are.
That's
you
right.
Say, do I still have faith when I'm sick? Yes, you do. You may have more faith than you realize. I'll tell you, I've known good people that have died with cancer, and I've sat there wondering, how did they do it? They had so much faith. I've seen miracle after miracle in their life, and they died with cancer, but I realized that it was just a sickness that took them out. But I realized also it wasn't a lack of faith on their part.
No.
It was God's timing.
Yeah,
I've seen men get healed of cancer. Even a brother recently got healed of cancer and lived several more years, and then he died with cancer again that came back upon him. I'm here to tell you, every one of us are going to have to change bodies, because this body's never going to make it.
That's right.
But we've got someone that has already created a body, and it's already there waiting for us this morning.
Right.
And this body may not be a reflection, but there's one that's already made that is a reflection, a perfect reflection of what God had for you.
Amen.
See, the reflection that God had in His mind of you was no sickness. See,
amen.
God's thoughts of you are thoughts of peace, and God's thoughts of you are not evil. God's thoughts of you, amen, are not sickness and death and all these things. Amen. That happened through the fall in the original plan of God. God saw you as perfect.
Right.
And so then He had to send His Son to die, to shed blood over you, so He could then again see you as perfect.
That's right.
I want you to notice that this morning. Did you realize that once He sees the blood covered over you, then that is a cover over your sins?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you will sin, because if you ever fall in love with Jesus and you ever look to the cross and see what He did for you, you can't help but love Him.
Right.
And if you love somebody, you want to please them.
Right.
If you love somebody, you want to do what you can for them. You want to do your best for them. If you really fall in love with Jesus, the world will just naturally fall away from you.
Right.
See, when you fall in love with Him, it ain't about rules and regulations. It's about grace, because look what He did for me. I can't help but live for Him. Oh yes, I'm going to fall down. Oh yes, I'm going to make mistakes. But I want you to know, if He loved you enough to die for you, the least we can do is live for Him.
That's right.
Come on, church. I want you to know this morning, I mean, there's no reason to be beaten down. He loved you so much, He died for you. He loved you so much that He sent a Savior, and then His only begotten Son, and laid Him down at the foot of the cross and said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased." But He laid Him down. He loved Him so much, but He gave Him for you.
Amen.
That's more than love. That's agape love. That's more than the love you think you got. That's a real, true love. God projecting His love on you just so you could live and be the image of Him.
Amen.
Come on, church. I'll tell you what. Amen. So you're not the image. I guess my point this morning, if I ever get this wrapped up, God is making a bride that is not the image of you, but the image of what He thought you are.
Amen.
God thought you to be perfect, and you are. God wanted a perfect bride, and you are.
Amen.
I know there's mistakes of mine. If I start pointing fingers at you, I got to point them back at me. I want you to know that many of us have failed God. Many times we've failed God. But I want you to know that we are the perfect, virtuous, spotless, sinless bride of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
God didn't call perfect people, but He made you perfect.
Amen.
He didn't call people that were so good they didn't need a Savior, but He called bad. Brother Branham said He came for bad people. Think about it.
Yeah.
He didn't come, when Jesus came to earth, He came to the lowly. He came to the woman at the well. He came to the sick, and He came to the outcasts, and He came to the ones that nobody wanted. Amen. He wanted. When He came to Simon's house, I want you to notice that the worst sinner in Simon's house was not the little woman that washed Jesus' feet.
Right.
You know, Brother Brand taught us that the worst sinner in Simon's house was Simon.
That's right.
And yet He looked like a good man. Simon looked like a great man. Simon had an outstanding, name in the city. He had an upstanding name. He was an upstanding citizen. He was the mayor. Maybe he was the governor. I mean, Simon was a real big deal. But I want you to notice that he was the worst sinner, because when Jesus Christ came into his house, he wouldn't even wash his feet.
That's right.
See, God is in humility. God was in the little woman, even though she had been a sinner.
even though she had made all kinds of mistakes.
Amen.
Even though maybe she didn't have no right to be in that house. But God saw her and thought, well, she humbled herself. She got, listen, she went out there and she sold and she bought, she sold everything she had, no doubt. Amen. To buy all the incenses and the oils and things so that she could wash his feet. Maybe she didn't have a towel, but Brother Branham said she would wash and she would dry his feet with her hair. I want you to notice that's what humility looks like. Humility does not put Christ in a corner, but humility will worship him while he's here.
That's right.
Humility will never be about me being the big guy in the room. Humility will never be about you being the big guy in the room.
Right.
If you think you're so big, remember Simon thought he was so big. Simon thought he was so great, but there had to be somebody. I want you to notice who reflected Christ better in that room. The little woman. The little woman that nobody wanted anything to do with.
Right.
The little woman that was maybe so insignificant, people would go across the other side of the street when she was walking down this side. Why? Because she humbled herself. And God took the humble things and even confounded the wise of that day. And thought, this is the one I want to make an image of me.
Right.
This is the one that's going to be what I want. This is the one who can humble herself and realizes it ain't about how good she was. She probably couldn't have any faith in her family history. She probably, you know, if she told you who her mom was, she might have come from a whole string of bad women. Think about it.
Right.
Brother Branham actually talks about the reason she was the way she was because of the way her mother raised her.
Yep.
And I want you to notice that she maybe wouldn't have even been that way. I tell you, you want to talk about a paradox? Brother Branham talks about Marilyn Monroe. He said, had she heard what you've heard, he said she would have accepted it. Something along those lines. I want you to notice, amen, if come on, God is a lot different than what we think God is.
Right.
We think God has got to get this little group of people that all wear a certain tie knot, and they all got to wear a certain kind of suit, and they've all got to sit a certain way in church, and their amens have got to be, you know, almost synchronized in the house of God. No, God wants somebody that's just willing to worship. Right. Sometimes we just need to get out of order long
that's
enough
right.
to have some church.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes we just need to worship
right.
God when you feel like worshiping and when you don't feel like worshiping.
Yeah.
You say, well, is God even real? I tell you, he's so real that he brought you here this morning. He's so real that he saved your sin-sick soul. He's so real that he sent his son to die for a poor, miserable creature like me.
Right.
Listen, church, we ain't too good to worship. You say, well, I ain't good enough to worship. You ain't worshiping yourself. You're worshiping a perfect God. You say, well, I don't feel worthy to worship. He made you worthy to worship. Because you ain't worshiping me. You ain't worshiping Brother Daniel and Brother Tony. You ain't worshiping Brother Tim and Brother Tim. You ain't worshiping, listen church, you ain't worshiping these brethren.
That's right.
You ain't worshiping nobody but Jesus.
Right.
When you put your hands up and they say, listen, they say, well, you ain't got no right to put your hands up and worship God. Can I go ahead and tell you something? Who are they to say you don't have a right to worship? When that little woman was there washing Jesus' feet, she didn't have a right to do it. But he said, you know what? He said, this woman here, she loves me. She's the only one here out of this whole house that would come and wash my feet. Listen, she may not have been worthy in the eyes of the people. But she was worthy in the eyes of God.
Yeah, that's right.
God wants your worship. God wanted to be worshipped, so he created you in his image to worship him.
Yeah, that's right.
He didn't make the animals worship. He didn't make everything else worship. Although I believe that there is a reverence for God from even the animal life. I believe that there's even a reverence in nature to God. God is in control of it all. So God can move one finger and cause everything to come into his ideas of what it should be. And maybe there's something out of cater in the world today, but not with God. Maybe there's earthquakes and tsunamis and all these things, but God knew every one of them that would happen.
Right.
And God has it all
that's
in control.
Right.
I want you to know every tornado that comes through this part of the country, God knew who it would take out.
Yeah.
I knew I was raised right up here on the Kansas line. I know all about tornadoes.
Yeah.
We'd stand out on the porch and watch them.
Yeah.
Now, everybody around my neighborhood, they all in the basements the day before it happens and the day after they go by. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, my brother's the worst one, too. He's not listening, so I can say this. He's the worst one, too, man. He called me, hey, you got to get in my basement. You got to get in my basement. Well, Bub, it says it's going 5 miles south of us. Well, what if it comes this way? What if it's going to, you know, it might take us all out.
I said, well, I mean, if it's my time, boy, you don't like that answer. You know? You don't like that. I'm all about taking shelter and protection, but I want you to know something. We don't live in fear.
No, that's right.
You know, you say, well, I can't live in this part of the country because of the tornadoes, and I can't live in this part of the country because of the earthquakes, and I can't live in this part of the country. There is no safe place on the earth.
That's right. That's right.
There is no safe place. I want you to know that. Listen,
that's right.
I don't know why I'm talking about it, maybe because of the area I'm in, but I want you to know, if you're looking for safety in this world, you're looking in the wrong place, but there is safety in Him. There is safety. And God made us in His image. He didn't make us to be scared. He made us to recognize that He's a good Father. And a good father sometimes has to put you through some things so that you'll be a good son.
Yes, that's right.
He didn't make you, listen, Brother Branham talks about He didn't push you into the end of one pipe and pull you out the other end and say, He's mine. No, He had to let you get through all on your own. He had to make, he had to let you, you know, Job was a perfect man. I love going back to Job because Job is a perfect man. But his friends, they thought he was perfect too. They really did. But then they said, well, he must be a secret sinner. Uh-huh. Now, they didn't even know about his sins. They thought Job was a pretty good guy. But there must be secrets we don't know about. Job must be a secret sinner. And that's what they'll say about you. Well, you must not really be bribed because you made a mistake. They just don't know the God that I know.
That's right.
The God that I know can take a mess and make it into a real Christian. The God I know can take someone who's been in a backslidden condition and bring them right back to the house of God. Listen, church, you might lose positions in the church, but you'll never lose your position in the bride.
That's right. Amen.
See, God, there are things you may not be able to do. Maybe there's things that would take you out of the pulpit, but that doesn't mean you can't be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and in the bride of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There are things, you can take church order, you can take all these things and say, well, this is how we want to run it. Yes, but Brother Branham never removed the Holy Spirit from operating a church.
No,
that's right. Not one time did he do that. I want you to notice, we believe in it. I believe everything he said about it. And I believe, I love how you all run your services. It's very orderly, it's very good. But don't forget who's here.
That's right.
Because he's the important one. We can do according to the books. We can go according to the law. We can have everything according to the letter. And at the end of the day, we are to reflect him to the world that we are living in. We have got to let the Spirit live through us. And that's not just on Monday morning at the work, but we need to live it right here in the house of God. Because there may be somebody in this church this morning that needs to see a real living God.
Amen. That's right.
I say, when I first saw, I remember going to church and I was 18 years old. I moved to Hot Springs, Arkansas. And I enjoyed, I had a good pastor there, a very good man. He was a wonderful man of God. God had me there in that season of my life for a reason. I'll say this, I attended church there for 10 years. But I also want you to know that when God moved me in another direction, I remember knowing, I felt almost out of place, like, what am I supposed to be doing? And then God, when he placed a call in my life to minister the gospel, I remember thinking, I don't even know that I believe in preachers. And God was so sure of his word that one day I was in a hotel in Oklahoma, not in Pawnee. It was another town right outside of there. I can't think anyway. Another little town there in Oklahoma. And I remember opening my Bible and I remember preach the word. Open was writing my Bible, and I'd been feeling a call for years, and I just never would do it. And finally, I opened it again, and I thought, well, I'll close my Bible and see if I open the same scripture, you know. And I did, and so I thought, well, there wasn't nobody to see that, but it was for me. It was the Lord speaking to me. Well, then, so about a month later, I'm sitting at my house, and I was supposed to work on that Saturday, and I was waiting for them to call me and tell me where to go. And so I was just sitting there, and so I started sitting there, and I started studying. And I'd do that anyway a little bit, but, you know, just to do it. I don't think you have to be a preacher to study, by the way. Right, I think every one of us need to find ourselves in the Scriptures and study. And maybe you're not sitting there to make a sermon, but you need to study the Word. I mean, it's good for us to do it. I'm sitting there and I'm studying and I'm doing all that. Well, I get done. I finally call them. I said, well, you guys never called me, like 2 hours later. And they said, well, we just decided not to work today. Okay. Next day, my brother walks up to me at church and he says, brother, he says, I'm not ever going to do this to you again. He said, but I feel like asking you this one question one time. He said, will you take service this afternoon or not? Well, it started at 3 o'clock. This was 2 o'clock. And I thought, well, that gives me lots of time to get ready, you know. But then, you know, but once I did that, it actually took a burden off my shoulders to do what the Lord had called me to do.
Right.
But I want you to notice, when I started doing it, then the devil started talking to me, saying, you ain't good enough.
Right.
And I thought, well, I know I'm not good enough. I mean, I ramble a lot. I long-winded just by nature. I don't even have to preach to be long-winded. I can just talk, you know.
Amen.
And so, I said amen. But, you know, that's just the way I was. And I'm sitting there thinking, Lord, what do you, what kind of, you know, should I preach like? And, you know, I'm not an overly spiritual person. I don't, you know, the Lord's not always just in my car talking to me, giving me revelations and things. But I just believe in his word, he showed me, be yourself.
Right.
And stay humble. And I started listening to Brother Branham in the early years and working my way through. And I started realizing, amen, that he had to get himself out of the way so that Christ could be revealed through him.
That's right.
He couldn't do it on his own. And I want you to know, I can't do nothing on my own this morning. Right. No matter what kind of gift I believe God placed in my life, that's not going to do nothing for you unless I can get myself out of the way and present to you a gospel that has a living God in it. We are not here. Brother Tony does not come up here and preach a God of history. He does not show you a God that was unless he also shows you a God that is. He is the great I am. He is the masterpiece. He is the Lord of all. He's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Listen, church, every spoke is tied to the hub.
Amen. That's right.
Every spoke. Listen, you can take a wheel, and you take an old wagon wheel, an old wooden wagon wheel, and you got an old hub in there. Amen. That's the center of it all. It's got to be in order. That thing's got to have a good tight hub. It's got to be right. If that's rotten, it'll fall out. But if you got a good solid hub, then your spokes have to line up to the hub. Listen, you've got to have them in order. It's all got to be tied back to him. You know, the spoke is not just out here on its own. But when the pressure is on, it's on him. It's on the center of it all. I want you to know it's a reflection. Everything we do is a reflection of Jesus Christ.
Amen. That's right.
Come on, church. You realize what we are today? We are Mrs. Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's right. Hallelujah.
We are Mrs. Jesus Christ. We are Christ made flesh today.
Right.
You know, that's why I remember fellowshipping as a young man. And I was a young teenager. My dad took us around a group called the I Am God people. And if you've ever heard of them, there was a group called they were literally called I Am God. And they were, I believe they were out in Neosho, Missouri. Or at least the church we fellowshipped with was. And I remember them talking about that and making themselves almost deity. And you know, the facts are, the farther I get into the message, the more I realize that they were wrong, but they weren't that far off. They just made their flesh too much. But I want you to know, amen, that inside of us is a living God. This flesh ain't nothing, but on the inside is a living God.
Amen.
No, there's no death can stand against you. Amen. There's no demons of hell can stand against you. Amen. There's no pornography that can take our young people out. Nothing can stand in front of a holy God. And God has called us to be overcomers in this day. Listen, I know you're going to fight battles. I'm not saying when you become a Christian it's going to be easy. The prophet never said that. He never said it's going to be a picnic. It's going to be a battleground. But we don't give up. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. He is already. This is how I fight my battles. It's by the word of God. This is how I know I'm an overcomer. Because I'm lining up to the word of God. I'm not where I want to be. But I thank God I'm not where I used to be. And I know where I'm headed.
Hallelujah.
I know I've got a long ways to go. I know I've got a lot of learning to do. I know I've got a lot of things I've got to get right. But I want to tell you this morning, I believe that he's leading me every step of the way.
Amen.
Because I'm not following a man. I'm following the message of the hour,
which is
Christ.
That's it.
That is Christ. And see, I believe, you know, we used to say back when we were kids, you are what you eat. And I believe Brother Branham even says that.
Yeah, that's right.
You are what you eat. You know, we eat a lot of bacon back when we were growing up. And if you met my older brothers, you'd know we ate a lot of bacon. And Jordan, you ever meet my older brothers? They we don't do diets. If we do, we do multiples because we can't get enough to eat on one. And so, you know, we like to eat. I'll be honest with you. There's not a buffet I don't like. You know, we just go, you know, whatever. We spend more money on food. If we saved half of what we spend on food, you know, as my brothers and I, we would be wealthy. But we just don't. We eat a lot, you know, and I don't mean we gluttons. We don't preach on gluttony, but we're not gluttons. But I would say, you know, we love food. You know, you pass the big Texan, go out to Amarillo, and I'm always wanting to get that challenge down. I want to eat that 72-ounce steak, you know.
Yeah.
And I just, those are the things I want to do in life. You know, I would love to be a food critic and go out and just eat. You know, that's what I would want to do in my own self. Lord called me to be a painter, but they. So there's all these things I'd like to do. You know, everybody has a thing that they like to do, and my family, we like to eat. You are what you eat. You know, sometimes the food can be good for you, and sometimes food can be bad for you. But I will say this: if you eat the message of the hour,
that's right,
the open book. I want you to notice it's not a closed book to us. You can fill your head with knowledge, and that's good. You need to know your Bible. You need to know everything about it. You need to know the front to the back. You need to know wherever Scripture is. That's great. That's wonderful things. Things you learn in Sunday school, things like that. It's wonderful. Amen. But when you recognize there's an open book, the word that was once hidden to the people is now revealed.
Now open. That's right.
And when the revealing of the word comes into your soul, that's what you can feed on.
Yeah.
And then you become the word.
Hey.
And when you become the word, you live the word. It's not you making yourself live the word. You can't help but live the word.
Right.
Why? Because the word is living through you. You are then reflecting what is on the inside. Come on, church. Do you realize the wool on a sheep? You know, if it wasn't a sheep, there wouldn't be no wool there. Amen. But because it's a sheep, he produces the wool.
That's right.
Same way with a wolf.
Right.
You take a wolf out here and you just imagine that what's on the inside of that wolf. You make that thing mad or you get him cornered, his nature's going to come out and show. You realize that that's nature will teach us these things. You know, what's on the inside will come out.
Right.
You may look like a lamb, but you may not be a lamb. We've got to get the inside right. We need the dove nature where the oil is on the inside. It is purifying us from the inside out and making us to live like sons and daughters of God. He's doing the work, not us doing the work.
Amen.
You say, what's your point this morning, Brother Joel? My point is this. The word will work if it's on the inside of you and the Holy Spirit is there to make it live through you.
Yes, that's right.
Head knowledge won't do it. Your own thinking will never work.
That's right.
But I'll tell you what will do it. If you'll feed on the body word of the Son of Man,
amen. That's right.
You will become sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
I know there's many people got their ideas about adoption. I'm not here to preach it this morning. But I want you to know that how do you become a son? Because you recognize that you are a son.
Amen.
Pretty simple. But when you recognize that you are a son, then you realize you've got the same authority that your daddy had. You realize you have the same authority. Why? Because you got the same name. You are seated together now in heavenly places. You are now sons and daughters of God with the authority that Jesus Christ has. Are you with me this morning? Amen. I want you to notice just before we close, I want to change to this way here. The only way we can fully take on the image of God today is to have a new birth and become what He is.
Yeah,
we cannot do it in ourselves. Amen. Your natural birth can make you what you are in the flesh, but your new birth has got to make you what you are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen. And I'll tell you what this morning, if you've never been born again, Jesus Christ Himself said, you must be born again.
Amen.
How can a man enter the kingdom of heaven? You must be born again.
Amen.
I want to tell you this morning, to be born again is not to just join a church. To be born again is not to just sit on a message pew, but to be born again is to have the life of Christ come on the inside of you and lay down your old nature and take on the name of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this morning, what we need is born again believers, and you won't be shaken. You won't be fearful about what's coming. Your flesh may shake. Your flesh may fail you, but there'll be something on the inside of you that is holding on, because that is what God wants for you. He wants a born again son of God. He wants a daughter of God that's born again. I want you to notice today, amen, Brother Branham would say it like this just before we close now. He said, I'm afraid today too many of us are not getting people to Christ. We're getting them to a church, to a theory, but we must get them to Christ. He is the only one and the only one that has life. He that has the Son has life. And if the life of a man that's dead be projected in you, you will live the same life he lived.
Hallelujah.
Are you with me now? If the blood of a man was a certain type and you took the blood from one man and changed the blood of one man into another, he would absolutely be that type of blood. And if your spirit that's in you is reckoned dead and you are anointed with the life that was in Christ is upon you,
Romans 8:11 said, if the Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll also quicken your mortal body. If that same life, the same powers, the same Spirit, the same beneficiaries, Brother Branham said, that he had here on earth from God, he redeemed you, a seed that was foreknown by God, whose names was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Are you with me this morning?
Amen.
God knew you before you ever were in this flesh. God knew you before you ever became a son or daughter of God. God knew who you would be.
That's right.
God placed you this morning. God knew you. God called you. God set you aside. And every devil in hell is trying to take you out, but you're still here.
Amen.
Every devil in hell is going to continue to fight you. When you get up on Monday morning, I want you to realize I am an image of Christ. I am a reflection of Jesus Christ. I got the faith in the message of the hour. I have a resting place. I have something to hold to. Because, you know, a chain is only its strongest at its weakest link. But I want you to notice that even if the chain broke, there's a hand ready to catch you before you fall.
That's right.
Because you may fall down. I heard a brother, I believe it's Brother Josh Bennett, was preaching at a youth camp one time. He said, you can fall down, but it is impossible for you to fall away. He took that right out of the Bible. And I'll tell you what, I just wanted to shout, because I'll tell you right now, you can fall down every day of your life. You will fall down every day of your life. You're going to make mistakes that you're not proud of. Now, if you're proud of them, you need to get a check and see if you got the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
But I want you to notice, if you're falling down and you're not trying to fall down, but you're trying to get back up, it's not you falling and it's not you getting back up. It's Satan pulling you down, and it's him standing there to pull you back up. See, he is the one. It's an unseen hand. Aren't you thankful for
that? Hallelujah. That's right.
Brother Branham says it like this, and this will be my last before I close. Brother Branham said, he said, this is a mixed audience, but I'm going to say something. What is a birth? If a birth happens on a straw tick, or if it happens on the floor in a hospital, that the rooms are decorated in pink silk, it's a mess. Anybody agree with me?
Amen.
He said, any way you take it, that's right. He said, so is the new birth. It's a mess. Any way you take it, but it produces life.
Right.
It produces life. What kind of life? Servant life, to humble yourselves, to deny yourself. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's the kind of life. He said, oh, they said, but I've seen them cry and boohoo around the altar and carry on. Sure, they're being born. It's a mess. I don't care where you go. You might get up, your face all full of tears, your eyes red, and your hands are all from beating the altar, but it's a birth. It does something to you. It makes you a servant. It takes the starch out of you and makes an image, molding new life, new creation. You may be all messed up when you get up, but you're born again. He said, no matter where you are, it makes new life. It brings new life. He said, now, you want to serve then. Jesus wants us to serve one another, love one another, and as we serve each other, we serve him. I want you to notice, as images of Christ today, we are not. It's not about us. Jesus did not come into this world and try to make it and say, well, you know, my flesh is going to make it. My flesh is going to overcome. No, he said, he that hath the Son hath life. I want you to notice, Jesus Christ would say, I am the Son of God. And there were times when it sounded like he was boasting in himself. But I want you to notice, that was God speaking. When he was standing there as a man, he realized, I can do nothing until my Father speaks first.
Yeah.
I want you to notice, when a prophet of God would come, there were times when he would speak boldly. God was speaking through him.
Right.
And then he would stand there at other times and he would say, I can do nothing. I'm as helpless as any other man. Yeah. But when he comes, all things are possible.
Right.
I want you to notice today, I'm as helpless here as a minister as any other man. But if he's here, then all things are possible. Brother Tony can't help you on his own. But if God come down, he called him to be a pastor, he can help you. Why? Because it's not Brother Tony, but it's Christ in Brother Tony that is doing the work.
Amen.
This morning, don't get your eyes on the man. Get your eyes on Christ.
Amen.
Don't say, well, Brother Pablo, he's not an image of God yet. Well, Brother Pablo's still working on that, because God is working through Brother Pablo.
Amen. That's
just using you as an example. But God is still working on you, every one of us.
Amen.
God is still working
right.
on us. If we were where we needed to be, God would have probably already taken us on off the earth. But I want you to notice, God is not finished with you yet. But don't get your eyes on the unfinished product. I want you to know, God is creating a masterpiece.
Right.
And when he's done with it, we're going to be gone.
Praise God. That's right.
I want you to know today, Don't get your eyes on what I do wrong or what I say wrong this morning. I don't mean to say nothing wrong to you. God knows my heart. I mean to get the message to you. God knows I didn't want to come and scream at you and yell at you and beat you over the head. But I want to help you this morning. I want you to know you are the image of Christ to the world. There may be a lot of churches having church this morning, but right here in this little building is a group of people that is reflecting the life of a living God.
Hallelujah.
And that is what we want to do this morning. As we stand to our feet, the musicians come. We want to be reflectors of the living God. It ain't about reflecting one another. You know, sometimes you go to you walk in a JCPenney store. Because I'm poor, that's where I shop. Some of them good evangelists, they get to go to Dillard's. I'm just kidding. But you know, you go into a JCPenney store, or wherever you shop, I don't know, Kohl's, whatever. If you have North, it's Kohl's. You walk in there and you see those mannequins. Like, hey, I'd like to look like that. Problem is, I got to lose weight to look like most of them. But, you know, because they make them kind of perfect, you know. And so you're looking in there like, I want to reflect that. That's the suit I want. That's how I want to look. They do that for a reason.
Right.
They want to show you a style that you can imitate, you can be like. I want you to notice that God sent us a perfect style.
Right.
Perfect style.
Yeah.
It's in His Word.
Yeah.
You ever look at that and look in the Word? Yeah. And you know, if you can't look in the Word and say, that's me, then you need to check the Word again. And then if you're not lining up to the Word, you don't say, well, it's not for me. No, what you say is, Lord, cut off those places that are unlike you.
Yeah,
line me up. Let me be a perfect reflection of your Word.
Hallelujah.
It may not look like much to the world. It may be baby steps. It may be slow progressing. I tell you, God, it's taken Him a long time to get me where I am, and I've still got a lot of rough edges to go.
Yeah.
I know that. I understand that. I recognize my frailties as a human, I understand. Listen, I'm not perfect. I understand all those things. There's not a man in this building that's standing here and tell you they're perfect. If they would, then I promise you they're lying to you.
Right. Right.
The only way we are perfect is by the blood of Jesus
Christ.
That's
it. Hallelujah.
Because of a perfect one that came for an imperfect people.
Yeah.
Listen, this message does not give us a license to do what you want. Unless what you want is the Word.
Life starts with the Word. Right.
And if that's in your heart, then do all that is in your heart.
Yeah.
Because when Christ is on the inside, He takes a sinner. And you can look like the worst sinner in the city. You can look like the little woman that was washing Jesus' feet. Or you can look like the woman at the well. Look how many times she'd been married.
Mm-hmm.
Look how many times she'd been divorced.
Right.
Look how many times she had failed God. How many people wanted to stone her because she failed the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when Jesus came, He didn't come and say, I'm going to cast you down. You're going to hell because of your sins. No. He stood there and proved that there was a living God on earth again.
Amen.
And that she too could have eternal life.
Yes.
Don't stay in your sin. But He said, go sin no more.
Right.
But you know what gave her the ability and the power to go sin no more? Was the fact that she had met Christ.
Right.
When you meet Him, you will then have the power to overcome.
Yes.
You can't do it on your own. But if He comes into your life,
It
starts making all the crooked places straight. It starts making you know, the crooked deals. You start to tell a lie. And maybe you even do tell a lie. The prophet did one time that we know of. He told us about a lie. But you know what he did? He had to go back and make that thing right.
Yes. Right.
And if a prophet had to go confess his sins and make something right, what about me and you?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
What about the church? Just because you mess up don't mean you're wrong. Or don't mean you're lost. It just means you got to repent.
Right,
man. And I want you to know today, you're never too far from the grace of God. You can come back to Him. I went all over the place off my notes this morning. I went ways I didn't know I was going to go. I don't know really what I was even. My point to you was that we are reflections of Christ. But I want you to know this morning, I kind of went a lot of different directions. And I have a bad habit of doing that. But I want you to know what was on my heart this morning is to see
that's
you
right.
People. Every year, I was here last year, and I came this year, and I appreciate that opportunity, but I want you to know, listen, I want to see, more than anything, I want to see growth as an individual.
Yeah.
I want to see my life. I don't want to look back in 5 years and be like, Lord, I seem like I'm going the wrong direction. No, I want to every day take another step.
Yeah.
If it's just a half a step.
Right.
I want to make progress moving forward.
Amen.
I want that for every one of us.
Yes.
I wonder how many this morning would raise up a hand and say, Lord, make me more like you. And give me a life. Give me a heart that's filled with love.
Right.
Make me more like you. I wonder if we can sing that this morning. Make me more like you. I don't want to be more like somebody else. I don't want to be able to do more. I don't want to be able to preach like somebody or act like somebody or imitate somebody. But if I can imitate anybody, I want it to be him. Make me more. I love you, Lord.
enjoyed that.
Hallelujah, yes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Brother Joel started out there talking a while ago about gold. I just got to thinking about it. You know what the difference between 14 karat gold and 24 karat gold is? How many of those are different? 14 karat gold is a lot more durable. But we don't want to be durable. We want to be 24 karat gold, which is soft. And you can mold it and make it into something. And that's what we want. You know, the scripture tells us, Jesus said, they that are whole need not a physician. You translate that into what he's saying there. So if you don't think you're sick, you won't go to a doctor. Right? Brother Branham said he came to save bad people who know they're bad.
Yes.
That's the thing. That's the key. You got to know. You got to admit, hey, there's nothing good about me, nothing good about you. That's a good place to start.
Yeah.
Amen. And so we just thinking on the things that our brother said. You know, we were talking this morning, some of us, that we live in a generation where nobody wants to sacrifice.
Right.
Everybody wants things their way. Yeah. But you know, when things always go your way, character will never be molded into you. And the only thing we can take with us is character.
Yes.
Right? And so if everything's always going our way, we never grow. We never have character built. But it's when those things come along that if we just submit ourselves to God and let God, through that pressure of his hand, he'll change us and make us into something glorious for him.
Yes. Amen. Yes.
Amen. You know, he was telling about the woman there that was washing his feet. You know, God has attributes to be a savior,
yes,
be a healer, and so forth. Well, in that situation there, as him being a savior or someone who can to forgive, who was doing a better job at expressing that, him as a savior, in that room?
Yeah.
It wasn't Simon.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Well, who does a better job at expressing him as a healer? Is it a person that's healthy or someone who's sick?
Yep.
Right? So you see, he is the answer to everything that we have.
He is, yes.
You say you don't feel worthy? Do something for me once. Ask him.
Yes.
Ask him about it, what he thinks. Because he thought enough of you to pay a price for you so that you can be. You're not worthy in yourself. You're worthy in him.
Yes.
I would not want to stand there before the Lord Jesus Christ and tell him, I'm sorry, what you did didn't work. What you did isn't good enough. I'm not going to do that.
Right.
Amen. I want to just tell him right now, Lord, I accept what you've done. The scripture says he's not giving us the spirit of fear.
Right.
But of power and love and a sound mind. There's sometimes I say there's sometimes when you're so much under pressure mentally and you just got to reach to that right there, that word, and say, God, you have not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And our Bible says that if you will resist the devil, he will flee.
Yes.
Amen. Right. That's what we have to do. He was talking about the wheel there a while ago. You take a wheel and it's got all these spokes, and I'd say like maybe each one of us were a different spoke, and as that wheel turns, at some point the spoke that you are is under pressure.
Yep.
And then it moves on around, and then it becomes somebody else's time for pressure.
Yep. Yep.
And you have a freedom there for a while. But that hub is always under pressure.
Yep.
Every one of those spokes all goes to that one right there. Yep. He is the right, he bears it all.
Yes.
Amen. And as soon as we can recognize who, we might be pressured from this side, but I'm giving it to him. I'm giving it to the hub. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. So we appreciate these things our brother had to say.
Amen.
Amen. As over my course of my lifetime, there's been many times I've been able to build things. And you know, there have been times. Even my wife may have done this from time to time, that people will come along and begin to be a critic of what you're working on before you're done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that irritates you. Look at her grin.
Yeah.
You don't think about it. So when you look in the mirror, don't criticize what's not finished yet. Right?
Right.
He's still working on it.
He's
still working on me. Amen. So we appreciate that. I was going to tell you, brother, a while ago, when you said, getting ready to close, Brother Tim's starting to get up. Amen. If you want to know what that's about, you can ask us later. It's funny. But how many knows what we're supposed to sing? Let's find something to sing here. We're supposed to sing. How many ever tried to sing when you're sad? It don't work. Right? You can't sing when you're sad. I can't. Anybody in here can sing when you're sad? But how easy it is to sing when you're happy.
Yeah.
Right? And we're going to a place where there will be no sorrows.
Right.
Amen? A place where we're going to sing and rejoice. I told Brother Tim last night, I said, imagine that. A place where music, singing and rejoicing, and yet it's in eternity. And in eternity, there's no time. And it takes timing for music. I don't know how God can do that, but he is. It's his realm. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So let's just sing as we get ready to close here. Just a moment.
This is my desire.
Appreciate the services this weekend.
Amen.
And I was had Brother Joel had been on my mind for a while, and actually for a couple of weeks, and I got in touch with him and tried to set up a date, and we had some trouble finding dates, and this one, we had to do this one really early, but I'm pleased that the Lord has done what he did, and I believe he spoke things that were good for us.
Amen.
And just pray that we'll pray here in just a moment. Close service. Just pray that the Lord would just strengthen our brother and his family, and
yes,
go back home and be fully refreshed. And you know, I see in this earth we have journeys, and we just keep pressing on, keep doing what we're to do. And so, I would say that a meeting come up with Brother Ben Malrod. So remember him as he was having surgery this morning. We were going to have service with him the last weekend of January. Something has come up to where he cannot make it that weekend, and so we had to move a new weekend to February 7th and 8th. So we're going to just let everybody know it's a little ways off.
just pray that for those meetings, pray that Brother Ben will recover really well and everything will be okay. And I'm sure he appreciates those things. Amen. All hearts are clear. Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to him. We'll close service. Lord Jesus, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for what you've provided for us this weekend. We go, Lord, with our home, as it were, with our wagons full. Lord, lots of things to feed on. And Lord, that would carry us through the week ahead. And we love you, Lord. We thank you for these little special meetings, Lord, where we get to just to experience things, Lord, that you have special for us. We love you. We're asking, Lord, that you be with Brother Joel and his wife and children.
Yes.
Lord, that you'd keep them safe as they travel back home. Yes. You would just give them strength. Lord, as we know that as you travel on the roads, it takes its toll. And so we're asking, Lord, that you would just provide everything they have need of. And Lord, as we get ready to go to fellowship, we ask God that you'd bless the food that would be a nourishment to our bodies. And we ask, Lord, that you'd bless our sisters and the hands that have prepared it.
Yes.
Be with us, Lord. Keep us safe. Amen. We love you and give honor and praise to you in Jesus' precious name. We have a little song, brother.
Yeah.
Okay.
We bring the sacrifice of praise. We've been here doing praising the Lord. 361 says.